Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
It's Fantasy Sports Today.
Good morning. Welcome in Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and Frank here with you on Sports Grid on our network where we're talking fantasy, we're talking reality. Another day in the baseball world, another day in the world of sports. We got three up, three down coming up soon. Dan Stratford's got a Sports Grid update. And of course, we'll hear from Frank at the FanDuel Sportsbook as he will be with me here once again today. Today is our preview of the Baltimore Orioles. So we'll dive a little bit deeper in to how it can help you in the 2020 fantasy baseball season as our previews continue today. Make sure you go back on demand and catch our previews both of the Boston Red Sox and Toronto Blue Jays. And each and every day we go over each team, we go over their win total, we go over their starting lineup, some players you could potentially draft in fantasy. And so we try to bring it all to you in fantasy and reality here on the show on Fantasy Sports Today. Just a couple of quick news and notes here at the top. Chris Sale, after we were done with the show yesterday, it was announced by Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic that for now, he is not going to have surgery, which, I mean, you got to really know a little bit more about injuries and know about these details for us to speculate on this. But very clearly, in terms of fantasy, you should be going nowhere near Chris Sale this season. And at the very least, he's not even on a throwing program. The months that we're starting to hear is June. So that would be a full 2 months off. And of course, he's going to have some buildup. He hasn't thrown at all this spring. So I wouldn't put him in the same category as a zero of Severino at this point with the little O at the end of Severino's name. But there's certainly a chance that that could end up happening. On the flip side last night, and the great thing about spring training this time of the year, too, is that teams are starting to get acclimated and start playing a lot more night games. And especially out on the West Coast in Arizona. And I got to tell you, last night, and, you know, sometimes at this stage, now that we're into spring training and we're 2 weeks in, 2 full weeks in here, the hitters are starting to catch up with the pitchers a little bit. So you're starting to see some more home runs. You're starting to see some more extra base hits. But Clayton Kershaw looked really good last night. And, you know, I wonder, his velo's been up a little bit. He's getting a little bit more swing and miss in the early part of spring training. And I'm not going to overreact to this, but when you start talking about Clayton Kershaw and comparing him to some of the other players that are already out at this point, as we mentioned, Sale, Severino, several other pitchers with questions like Blake Snell, maybe Kershaw jumps back into a top five conversation in fantasy pitcher in 2020. I think it's time to start taking him a little bit more seriously as the draft season gets ready to kick into high gear next week. All right, we got a Dan Stratford update, then we'll bring Frank in to go over the latest news and notes in fantasy right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Here's Dan.
Craig, taking a look at news and notes from around Major League Baseball. You mentioned Chris Sale. He's been diagnosed with what's being deemed a flexor strain in his left arm. Sale has been shut down from throwing for at least a week, but he will continue to participate in other workouts. In related news, the Red Sox have signed right-handed pitcher Colin McHugh to a one-year $600,000 contract. It is a guaranteed MLB contract. Aaron Judge said Thursday that he feels he still has time to be ready for opening day. Now, Judge continues to undergo tests in Florida as the Yankees attempt to determine the nature of the discomfort around his right shoulder and pectoral muscle. They have not explicitly said what tests he is undergoing. Yankees teammate James Paxton said Thursday that he may begin throwing at the end of this week or the start of next week. Paxton had back surgery a few weeks back. An MRI showed that Tyler Beede has both a flexor strain and UCL sprain in his right elbow. They will look for a second opinion. In the NBA, we get Steph Curry back tonight. Golden State Warriors guard will return Thursday against the Raptors after missing more than 4 months while recovering from a broken left hand. The two-time MVP did tweet out his excitement about rejoining Golden State after missing the team's previous 58 games. Tonight in the NBA, along with the Warriors hosting the Raptors, we have the Nuggets at the Hornets with a lowly 207.5 over-under. Clippers at Rockets, the game of the night. This one is even on the money line, 236.5 over-under. 76ers are at the Kings. Sacramento -5 at home here with Simmons and Embiid out, 218.5 over-under. And federal authorities in Florida on Wednesday charged a 23-year-old sports bettor known as Parlay Pats with transmitting threats of violence directed at professional and collegiate athletes and their friends and family. According to the criminal complaint, Benjamin Tucker Pats of New York used multiple anonymous accounts on social media in 2019 to make threats against athletes, including members of the New England Patriots and several Major League Baseball teams. I'm Dan Straffer, and this has been your Sports Grid News Update.
All right, thanks very much, Dan. And as we bring our co-host, my esteemed co-host, Frank Stanfill, into the show. Frank, good morning. Another day in the life of fantasy. We got our slow drafts going on right now, coming to a conclusion. And we got an Orioles preview here on the show today. The very exciting Baltimore Orioles fantasy preview here on the show. We had to spice this one up a little bit, so I thought it would be a good idea to actually hear from some of these guys on the show. What's going on?
Not much, man. Beautiful day out here in the New Jersey, New York City area. One step closer to opening day. Excited about the fantasy baseball season, Craig. It is getting closer and closer. And I'm looking forward to the interviews that you conducted as well. We'll hear from some of those later on in the show regarding the Baltimore Orioles. But excited, man. Happy to be here. And I've mentioned this before. You know how you know you have a problem when it comes to fantasy baseball is I have three slow drafts going on, and I just got sniped in the 26th round. I missed out on Corbin Burns, and I was actually physically upset before the show started. So hopefully you could cheer me up here, Craig.
Yeah, no, you'll be okay. You'll get Corbin Burns. Do you know who Corbin? That's another '80s reference. I'm sorry, Corbin Burns. Any clue?
Who?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No idea. Currently Googling.
Bavona knows that guy. Well, Bavona is into the whole arts and acting, so he's very well aware of those people. Corbin Burns of L.A. law fame, and then, of course, of the baseball movie, Frank, that everybody has seen. Have you ever seen the movie Major League? Did it ring a bell at all?
Oh, of course I've seen Major League.
Okay. Yeah, he was Roger Dorn, the third base.
I'm trying to see what his role was. Oh, Roger Dorn, right. All right, I haven't seen this movie in a while, but all right, it's all starting to click. You know, I just need some refreshers
okay,
here.
Back.
Of course I know Corbin Burnson, the great.
Corbin Burnson. Same guy, by the way. Okay, let's get to some spring training information, news and notes here. We'll start off with the Red Sox signing Colin McHugh to a one-year deal. We did our team preview of them yesterday, so if you go back and listen on demand. Look, I don't know about you, Frank, but I'm not sure what their plan with Colin McHugh is. I was really on him going into the season last year, and then after three or four drafts, and I'll do this, by the way, right before we get to like the real hot time of the draft, to give you an idea of what I do, I start the texting, you know? Like, I'll start asking everybody who's anybody, like, who are the guys going into the season? And what's funny, Frank, is that last year, going into the spring, Colin McHugh was my guy. And then as the spring was going on, I'm getting these, look, I don't know what you keep saying about Colin, because I have these guys watching me. Well, what do you keep saying about Colin McHugh? He's not a guy this year. I'm like, oh, great. I already have him on three teams. And you know what? That proved to be true. What do you think the Red Sox do here? Can he be a starter on the Red Sox? Remember how good he was with Houston for a couple of years? Remember how good he was as a starter with the Mets? I wonder, Frank, what there is here for McHugh. Does he make 15 starts this year or 20 appearances out of the pen? Is he a nothing?
I think they want him to be a starting pitcher. The crazy part of all this, Craig, is that, you know, obviously Chris Sale is diagnosed with the injury that he has. Colin McHugh dealt with a similar injury late last season, and he was placed on the IL in August, and he has yet to resume throwing himself. He's not even on a throwing program yet. That is Colin McHugh, of course, who the Boston Red Sox signed today to a one-year contract. So I think they want him to be a starting pitcher for them. They want some depth, obviously, in that rotation, and we went over that yesterday. We had the graphic up. I mean, you almost had to pause and say, are we serious? Is this the Boston Red Sox that we normally talk about? Because the rotation is that bad. So I think that is what the Red Sox want, is they want Colin McHugh to be in the rotation. But again, there's not really a timetable for him yet. I don't think that he's going to be ready to start the season, obviously, here. But he has put together some good seasons with the Houston Astros last year, doomed by the long ball. Perhaps that was due to the juice ball. So we'll have to see, you know, if he can rectify things once again heading into the 2020 season. But there has been some strikeout upside the past couple of years with the Houston Astros. But obviously, he's dealing with an injury himself, and we don't really know when he's going to be back, Craig.
Yeah, I think that's very well said on your part. I mean, you got a guy going with an injury into the season. If you're in an auction, I don't even think you put a buck on him. I think this is like a late reserve round pick. Just some other things that are happening. It's funny, I see Peter O'Brien, Frank, hitting two home runs yesterday. This guy's like Mr. March, you know, like Mr. February, Mr. March. This is where you got to really be careful here, because by the end of the weekend, you're going to have some players with 6-7 home runs. And people are going to start to get that helium on those players. And I think that Peter O'Brien is a really good example of a player to circle. And just remember that the spring, in terms of some of these players, doesn't mean anything. I remember this going on last year, too, when he was with Miami. And he almost earned himself a spot on the opening day 25, which is now the 26-man roster. Names like this that we've never heard about before, Frank, that have never been relevant in fantasy. I mean, people have maybe heard of Peter O'Brien, but... in terms of his fantasy relevance, these are ones that you should ignore.
Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. And we get burned by at least a few players every single year in spring training. I remember a couple of years ago, it was Michael Franco had like a monster spring. It might have even been last year. It feels like every spring Michael Franco has a few monster games here and puts up a ton of home runs. And we wind up getting sucked in. Yeah, this guy could be a low-end starting third baseman, a corner infielder for your teams. And then the season starts, and then Michael Franco turns into Michael Franco. So I think we have to kind of separate some of these players who have great springs every single year, but don't really have a realistic shot of producing for fantasy. And I think Pete O'Brien is one of those. One of the names that I did want to touch on real quick, you mentioned at the top of the show, Clayton Kershaw. I agree with you, man. I think I got to start to move him back up my rankings. Greg Sussman, co-host on BFFs, he talked me out of Clayton Kershaw. Now I think I got to move him back up because the velocity is up. He went to driveline baseball this offseason. We've heard a lot of pitchers using the driveline baseball program to help improve their velocity heading into the upcoming seasons. And I think Clayton Kershaw, watching that game last night, one thing the Dodgers broadcast said is that, remember, last spring training, he wasn't ready to go at this point. He wasn't, like, there was a lot of question marks heading into the season with Kershaw. He's had a full offseason, a normal throwing program. He looks good in the spring. I think now is the time to actually be buying back in on Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, and I think part of it too, Frank, honestly, and I would tell Sussmania this too, I mean, he may be on with this. I mean, look, the reality is we don't know what Kershaw's going to be. But as we start to look at some of the other pitchers who have gone down ahead of him, Severino and others, got to be back in. We'll be right back.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Three down.
What does three up and three down mean to you, Airman?
End of an inning.
Welcome back. Three up, three down here on Fantasy Sports Today. Today is March the 5th, 2020, and away. 3 weeks from opening day. Believe it or not, Thursday, I'll be at an opening day baseball game. Can't wait. I'm not done with spring training by any means. I love this time of the year, but 2 weeks from now, come see me. Come talk to me, see where we're at. All right, let's get started, and we'll start off with a spring training stat, probably meaningless. But as I've said before, and I'll say it again, would you rather the players that you have in your fantasy league do well or do poor this time of the year? Frank and I see this a little bit differently. I want them to do well, especially after I've drafted them. Frank's point is good, is that a guy does well in the spring, and then you can't get him at the price that you wanted him, and that's fair. But after I've done a draft, and I know a lot of you, let's be honest, it's still very early March. While this is draft season, it is fantasy baseball draft month. Smart people are really not drafting, at least I would think, until next week. Why we do the League of Alternative Baseball Reality last week, I'm not really sure, because I've already lost somebody, but I'm up against it. Okay, Will Myers. Didn't think I'd bring his name up at all in March, but he's off to a good start. 3 home runs, .412 batting average. Myers is out of favor completely with the Padres. I got to tell you, I mean, maybe there's a little bit of a fire under this guy to get out of San Diego. And look, he's played with already, if I'm not mistaken, 3 organizations, Tampa Bay, Kansas City, San Diego. There's always these lofty expectations that are unmet with him. If I am Myers, I want to go back to one of those teams. Like, couldn't the Tigers use Will Myers right now? Wouldn't he put up like 25, 30 home runs in Detroit? May not drive in anybody or score any runs, but I'd love to put him back into a non-competitive situation just to kind of get his career going again, because I'm not quitting on this guy. I'm not taking him anywhere this year because I don't think the playing time is going to be there. But I think in a dynasty league for nothing, I would grab him just to see where he ends up, because I think he'll get moved at some point. Second trending up topic, congratulations to Katy Perry. She is pregnant. Congratulations to her. All of the pictures being posted yesterday. And I don't know what else I can add to that except for congrats. Cool. Katy Perry, big story today. And finally, I got to throw some food in there. Frank's been very good on the food trending topics here. He's been getting them and doing a good job with it. So I'm going to throw another one in there. 80th anniversary of Dairy Queen. And I have not had Dairy Queen in a long time. And I may have to make the trip here. There aren't that many here where I am in South Florida. You would think there'd be a lot more, actually. But on March 15th, Frank, this is right up your alley. 80-cent blizzards. 0.80. No launch angle, no hard hit rate, just 80 cents, Frank. You can go ahead and you can get yourself a blizzard. That's a good price. Too good to pass up. That's what's trending up for me today. How about you?
Craig, I got to touch on the blizzards real quick because I don't have many of those in the New York City area, so I might have to vicariously live through you. So if you can make that happen, just scarf down a bunch of those, send me some pictures. I will greatly appreciate that because, honestly, I've never even seen a DQ around where I live. They have some of them in Long Island. Maybe out here in the New Jersey area, I'll have a better chance of finding one. I might have to have producer Danny Okers drive me around in order to find a Dairy Queen and make that happen. So here's where I will agree with what you said about spring training stats. Once you have already drafted the player and you have a few shares, sure, you want to see that player perform well. And that's exactly how I feel about Jay Happ, because I've already drafted him in a few of my slow drafts, and he's pitching very well so far in the spring, Craig. I don't know if you've checked this out. He's pitched 9 innings thus far, 1 run ball with 11 strikeouts. Last year, disastrous season. No one's going to doubt that. I think he was hurt by the juice ball. A near 5 ERA, gave up a ton of home runs. There's no doubt about it. Yankee fan, I watch all the games. Jay Happ was dreadful last year. There's no way around that. Are we forgetting that he had a 3.65 ERA or less in each of the 4 seasons before 2019? Jay Happ is free right now. Yes, relies a ton on the fastball. I get that. But if he can get back to the player he was a couple of years ago, not even a 3.65 ERA, give us a high 3s ERA. Pitching with the Yankees run support, that's someone who's going to be able to help you in the wins category this upcoming season. They are depending on Jay Happ because they really don't have anyone else in the rotation outside of him and Gerrit Cole. So Jay Happ, someone I do have an eye on. Someone I know you have an eye on as well, Craig, is Aaron Civale. I know that you have been drafting him in a ton of places thus far. You have him on your labor team as well. I watched some of the highlights from yesterday's start. 2 innings pitched, 0 hits, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. The slider was tight. Tight like a toiga, to quote Gold member Austin Powers there. The breaking pitches looked great yesterday from Civale, and much like the Yankees, There's a lot of injuries to the Cleveland Indians rotation right now, so they are depending on Aaron Civale to give them innings, to give them volume, and to give them quality volume at that. So far, so good what I've seen from him in the spring, a name to pay attention to late in your drafts as well. That is Aaron Civale. Last but not least, trending up here, Craig, and I realize this is probably going to be trending down for many people. It's trending up for me. Another shout-out to Danny Okers, our producer here. He hooked me up with this one. People are now creating fake human legs for their needy cats to sit on. And I have a graphic here, Craig. It's a little creepy. I understand that. But we have established here on the show that I am a cat guy. And anything to keep the cat happy, Craig, you got to get it done. So here you go. Buy yourself some fake legs. Keep the cat happy. You know, you could still get some work done without the cat, you know, laying all over you, purring all over you. And everyone's happy in this instance. You just have some fake legs, you know, sitting around your house. You right with that, Craig?
You know, Frank, I prefer the fake cat to the fake lap. You know, I wouldn't mind putting a fake cat on my lap every once in a while. But yeah, that's like along the lines of, you know, trying, you know, here in Florida, a lot of people have the fake people that they put in the driver's, you know, side next to the driver so they could drive in the express lane. So maybe just throw the legs in there with a cat. Seems less creepy, probably. I don't know.
I feel like we're going to get a Florida man with the fake legs coming soon. Oh, yeah. Florida man does something with fake legs. It's coming.
Florida man, fake legs, fake cat with a Dairy Queen ice cream. Great defense. Yep. Got it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Here's what's trending down for me. Boy, this is a really big trending down for me. Players being discouraged by Major League Baseball for signing autographs at spring games. Are you kidding me? Like, look, I am just as health conscious and concerned as anybody. I mean, my son has been going through the flu for the last week and a half, and I don't want to see anybody getting sick. I don't want to see this coronavirus take over. And like, it's horrible, the whole thing. But let me understand this. So Major League Baseball is still going to allow people to go to spring games in Florida and Arizona and pay $50 sometimes for a ticket to a spring game where the average person is looking in the sixth inning and in number 87 and number 63 are playing. But those guys can't sign autographs out of fear for the coronavirus. But it's okay for the fans to go to these games and mingle amongst themselves and just, you know, harvest this stuff. This is the biggest bunch of nonsense ever. The simple answer is as follows, and I know the Marlins are doing this, is just before the players go out there, just give them the pens that they need if that's the concern. They don't have to take pictures or selfies, but does anybody go to spring training for the actual games? Like, this is like a kid's event. And I said this last night on social media too. If you are for players not signing autographs at spring training, you've never been a kid and gone and gotten autographs at spring training. I mean, this would be a disaster. And honestly, player safety is very important. But there should be at the very least a few players each game signing autographs for these kids. I don't want to hear about anything else until this is over. It's just nonsense. How about also trending down? Apparently, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick had a phone call that didn't go well. What does that mean? Like, what was on the other end of that line? Like, how did that go? Hey, Bill. Hey, Tom. How are you? Not good. Thanks. Bye. Like, what? Like, seriously? Like, how do we even report some of this stuff? Like, was there a third party on the line that was listening? Like, was this done on a conference call? Like, what do you mean it didn't go well? Like, how does a phone conversation with Bill Belichick ever go well? Like, have we ever heard in the history of the NFL, Bill Belichick had a phone call with somebody in the NFL and it went very well? Like, what do you expect? Bizarre. And then finally, trending down for me, yesterday on Jeopardy, a contestant was asked for Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers, his nickname, and instead of the process, he chose do a 180. Look, the Jeopardy people are not the biggest sports fans in the world, Frank, but I thought that was kind of comical. That's what's trending down for me today. How about you?
Yeah, I love the duo 180 as well. Joel Embiid actually put it in his Twitter name, Joel duo 180 Embiid. ? So he's having some fun with it, and he's embracing the mistake there on Jeopardy as well. Trending down, if you drafted Rhys Hoskins, maybe you don't feel so good right now because he is off to a slow start in the spring, 3-for-17 with 9 strikeouts. I understand a little bit of this is, all right, you're picking and choosing, Frank, who you want to do well and who you don't want to do well. Well, with Rhys Hoskins, he was dreadful last year in the second half. He had the lowest qualified batting average among hitters in the second half last year. He hit 180. I was hoping we would see a little something to give us hope heading into the season, but 3-for-17 with 9 strikeouts to start the spring for Rhys Hoskins, that is not what you want to see right now if you drafted him or if you are a Philadelphia Phillies fan. Going back to the Red Sox, what is happening? What are you guys doing? You have the injury to Chris Sale, and now you're signing Colin McHugh, who is also dealing with a similar injury. I just don't really understand what is going through the minds of the Boston Red Sox front office right now. I understand they want some rotation depth, and we mentioned the possibility of bringing in a veteran, Craig, but signing a veteran who is also dealing with an injury of his own, who has not started throwing yet, this doesn't make any sense to me. Good thing I'm not a Boston Red Sox fan, and I don't have to make any of those decisions either. Last but not least, trending down, a man brought a llama in a tuxedo to his sister's wedding. Apparently, he joked about it like 5 years prior, and this is going viral right now because you can see the picture here. Her face, she is not amused. In fact, she's quite angry about a llama in a tuxedo being at her wedding. That's my third and final trending down topic. Craig, did you have any llamas in attendance at your wedding?
No, I didn't, Frank. What is your plan for your wedding? Any interesting animals?
No llamas. Nah.
No llamas.
That wasn't in the cards for me. Not yet.
All right. You got your tux picked out?
No, I haven't done that yet either. I've got
some time. Doing well. You're off to a good start. All right, Baltimore Orioles fantasy previews coming up next right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Don't go away.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Frank Stanfill.
All right, welcome back. It is Fantasy Sports Today with Craig and Frank here with you as we have previewed the Toronto Blue Jays, the Boston Red Sox, and today it is time for the Baltimore Orioles. Now, look, I know a lot of you who watch baseball and are fans of the game, whether it's fantasy or whether it's betting, and I know we focus a lot of that on this show, tend to gravitate toward the better teams in the game, and it makes a lot of sense. And also the awareness is there for a lot of teams around the game, Frank, but you know, I think the interesting thing for me every year, and people always wonder why sometimes I focus on some of the teams that are going to be below 500 or some of those rebuilding, is because if you can find those gems on those teams, you're more likely to win a championship by becoming aware of these players. As an example, last year, Frank, who knew about Renato Nunez? No one. Who drafted Renato Nunez in any fantasy league? None. I mean, you could probably say that of all the players offensively that delivered value beyond where their ADP is, Nunez has got to be close to or near the top. And so Orioles, Frank, on the field from a competitive standpoint, are not going to sniff 500. But in fantasy, there will be players that we will own. There are players that we'll have some awareness of and some that we don't. that end up helping you.
And we see this every single year, Craig. You know, when it comes to the bad teams in baseball, you get a discount on those players from a fantasy baseball perspective as well. And just looking at this lineup here, there is value to be had because they hit in a really good ballpark as well in Camden Yards. In fact, they hit in a really good division of ballparks with Yankee Stadium, with Fenway, and obviously Rogers Center. Tropicana is more of a neutral park, I would say. But every other park in that division is pretty conducive to hitting as well. So I think that there are some values to be had here. You mentioned the name Renato Nunez. Do most people realize that he hit 31 home runs last year with this team. Yeah. Same thing with Anthony Santander, 20 home runs in only 93 games. Switch hitter, you don't have to worry about the splits. Started lifting the ball a little bit more last year. I think that there is some serious value to be had in this lineup, Craig, as long as these players remain in the lineup. You know, if they perform well, they'll remain there. But it's a good ballpark to hit in as well. So I think there is some value here, and these guys get downgraded because the Baltimore Orioles are just viewed as, you know, one of the worst teams in baseball.
Yeah, and one of the players not in their lineup this year that was last year, 20 home runs and 40 steals, of course, with Jonathan Villar. So you can put up monster seasons regardless if your team isn't very good. So let's take a look at their 2020, what's projected to be their 2020 opening day lineup. And they've been using different leadoff hitters so far in the spring. It seems like that they're going to go with a mix of Alberto or Austin Hayes leading off. Every other day, it's been either Alberto or Hayes. So, you know, maybe it's a platoon sort of situation at the top, but for now, we'll put Alberto there because every time Alberto's been in the lineup in the spring, he's been leading off. Trey Mancini, fantastic year last year. Santander had the monster sample, and if he can build on that, he could be a 30-home run guy for sure. Nunez, as you mentioned, 30 home runs. I mean, hard to buy into a spring of Chris Davis, but, you know, you're hoping for the best for him. This poor guy has just been decimated by ineffectiveness and injuries over the last 3 years. It's been a disaster. Austin Hayes, who we're going to hear from in a minute, is a nice sleeper on fantasy day. No one talks about Rio Ruiz. He was okay at the corner last year. Jose Iglesias, who I think is a little dinged up so far in the spring, provides zero fantasy value, and neither does Pedro Severino. But as we're talking about here, Frank, you know, six players in this lineup have some potential fantasy value on a team that may not win 60 games.
Yeah, and even in deeper leagues, you mentioned Rio Ruiz in an AL only, maybe in a 15-team mix, you take him as a reserve bat. Hanser Alberto hit over 300 last year. Do most people realize that, you know, he hit for that high of a batting average? His Statcast numbers say his expected batting average was 290, so it's not really all that fluky. I mean, if he's someone who can hit 280-plus going, you know, as late as he is, I mean, he was going, like, outside the top 400 picks, and, you know, someone to look at late in your drafts. Mentioned Santander. He's probably going to be in the lineup every single day for this team. Switch hitter, has a little bit of pop as well. Solid minor league numbers. Renato Nunez as a corner infielder with some pop. You know, the strikeout rate is not nearly as bad as the batting average says it is. So I actually think we could see some positive regression in the batting average for Renato Nunez. And the name that I'm really paying attention to in this lineup, most people are going to gravitate to Trey Mancini, what he did last year. And I understand he had a phenomenal season. I don't know if he'll come close to doing what he did last year. Could still be really good. But, you know, 2019 might wind up being a career year for Trey Mancini. The name Austin Hayes, I think that's the name that most people really need to pay attention to here, Craig. Small sample, 21 games last year, but hit 309 with 4 home runs, 12 runs scored, 13 ribbies, and 2 stolen bases. You know, in his minor league career, 286 hitter. He has a 32 home run season in the minors as well, has a little bit of speed, can do a little bit of everything. Austin Hayes is someone that I have been targeting late in drafts as like my 4th or 5th outfielder. I want basically Austin Hayes or Mark Canna on every single one of my teams, Craig, and that's basically how I've been attacking it.
Yep, and at last year, the hot name for Baltimore going into the season was Cedric Mullins, and if Hayes was healthy, probably would have played a lot more than he did. I ended up speaking to Austin Hayes at the ballpark yesterday and asked him what to expect in the 2020 season.
How's it feel to be in big league camp and all the expectations that, you know, you've had so far on yourself? How's it feeling so far?
Yeah, it's been a good camp so far. I think I've played 4 or 5 games now, so bats are starting to feel, you know, very comfortable and kind of get some of those bad swings and misses and stuff like that out of the way early. And now it's just trying to get in a groove and carry that into the season.
Yeah, the last couple of years has been a little different for you. This year you go into it with the expectation that there's, you know, a pretty good shot that you could start opening day and play center field for the Orioles. As a player, has the mentality changed knowing that that's the case?
No, I mean, I've still only had, you know, a little bit of time up there. I still have a lot to prove, so I'm coming in hungry and trying to win a job.
What are those things that in the spring that as an outsider looking in when we're watching your at-bats or watching your field that you should be looking for when we know you're comfortable?
I'd say my timing to the fastball. When I'm driving fastballs through the big part of the field and laying off breaking balls down and out of the zone, when those things start to come into play, that's when the numbers start to show up for me.
The other thing about the club is it's a young club, so we're having an opportunity to see some of the players that honestly a lot of people have never heard of, guys like Matt Castle, Rushman. Give me an idea of some of the younger players that you've seen that have been impressive for you so far.
Yeah, last year I actually played at six different levels with all the rehab and stuff that I went through, so I got to see a lot of our arms at the lower levels and getting to see D.L. Hall, Grayson Rodriguez, and then I've played with Keegan Aiken, playing with him in AAA. A lot of those guys are, there's some real stuff there, some live fastballs and great off-speed stuff. And then as far as the bats, I mean, you mentioned it, Mountcastle's, I mean, he's one of the most pure hitters in all minor league baseball, one of the better hitters I've ever seen, so should be excited that he's coming.
Are you, you follow football, or are you a big football fan?
Not a big football fan, but, you know, when it gets going, I'm into it.
There's a lot of people out there who play fantasy also. They play fantasy baseball as well. Austin Hayes is like a hot name right now. We're drafting, we're taking, you know. So what does it mean to you to know that fans, aside from the Orioles, are also interested in what we would call a sleeper this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a nice recognition to get. I understand there's that side of the game, too. So, yeah, hopefully some people will be picking me up.
All right, Frank. So, yeah, a sleeper, there's no doubt. I mean, look, if Hayes is healthy and he plays for the majority of the season, I think that there's a good chance that you're going to get some value here. I mean, what we're doing at this point, and honestly, Frank, it may be some of the skill set with Hayes. It just may simply be Camden Yards. Like, whoever they're suiting up and playing is having some success. I mentioned Mullins last year. He was a really hot name that honestly fell completely flat, and they really didn't have a ton of options there. If Hayes bats sixth or he bats first, there's certainly a chance for 15, 20 home runs and OBP of 33, 34%. Absolutely worth a dollar or two in an auction. And I think in an AL only, he's probably like an outfielder three for you. Worth a shot on him.
Yeah, and I'll extend it to mixed leagues as well. Again, I don't mind drafting him as my fourth or fifth outfielder, you know, rounding out those five outfielders in those deeper mixed leagues. And again, it comes down to health for Austin Hayes. You heard it there speaking to him. You know, he acknowledges that he has to stay healthy here. I think that's a big part of it, a big key for this upcoming season for Austin Hayes. But it's a good ballpark to hit in as well. You mentioned that. And the StatCast numbers support him. You know, like the average exit velocity was solid last year. The barrel rate was there. 22% line drive rate. He hits the ball in the air. He hits fly balls as well. So I think there's a lot to like. I think, you know, 20 home runs, if he could stay healthy, maybe 5 to 10 stolen bases, a batting average that will not hurt you as well. I'm with you, man. I think Austin Hayes, and I think a lot of people, you know, in the industry realize as well that he is one of the more interesting sleepers this upcoming season, Craig.
Yeah, for sure. You know, another one, Frank, you know, I was kind of surprised when Baltimore brought in Iglesias, but I'm guessing that it was more of a reason that they have a couple of ground ball pitchers this year, and that's part of the equation. They wanted better defense, but you know, Richie Martin is still on that team too. I thought that going into the winter, Richie Martin could be a 300, 400 plate appearance type guy. And again, we're chasing those steals in fantasy, but I got to say at this point, if Iglesias is healthy, I don't know what Richie Martin provides. I guess super utility seems like the best role for him at this point.
Yeah, and Richie Martin has some speed. I remember last year he popped up on a few waiver wires because he was stealing bases. And you know, maybe in the second half of the season, if they can find a suitor at the trade deadline for Jose Iglesias, assuming that he plays well and a team needs, you know, a utility-type player or a defensive replacement that, you know, you're not going to get much in return for a trade. But if they wind up trading a Jose Iglesias away, then maybe we see Richie Martin in the second half of the season. And I think he is a name to pay attention to, more so in deeper leagues, the AL only, as you mentioned. But there's definitely some speed there when it comes to Richie Martin.
Yep, and we'll dive deeper into the Baltimore Orioles as we continue on here on the show. And coming up next, what we're going to do is we're going to touch on something that a lot of people will not touch on this fantasy season, which is, of course, the Orioles starting pitchers and their rotation. Let's be honest, April and May of 2019, it was a bona fide disaster, And I think even the organization knew that. As things progressed a little bit, they got some good performances out of John Means. Their strikeout rate started to improve. And remember, they're rebuilding this organization really from the ground floor. And so coming up next, we'll hear from Brandon Hyde, who potentially could be in that rotation, also who may be closing games for the Orioles in the ninth inning as the 2020 season approaches. So we'll dive into that next, right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Plenty more to come here on the show as our preview of the 2020 Baltimore Orioles from a fantasy perspective rolls on right after this. Don't go away.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Frank Stanfill.
Welcome back. It's Fantasy Sports Today. And Craig Mish, along with Frank Stanfill, back here with you on the show as we continue our preview of the Baltimore Orioles in the 2020 fantasy baseball season. Frank, look, the pitching is... I mean, we thought that we were going through the Red Sox yesterday. I mean, honestly, if the Red Sox don't have Chris Sale, maybe there is a chance that the Orioles pitching is better than the Red Sox. I know it's crazy to sound, and really, when we're going to look at this, we will in a second, 1 through 5, it's a scary proposition again for them. But the reality is when you're going through a rebuild, and they're using that word rebuild, it is going to be very hard to find three viable big league pitchers to succeed in that ballpark. And I think they're up against it again this year.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a tough rotation. And obviously, I think we're going to see some youngsters come up throughout the course of the season here for the Baltimore Orioles. And, you know, those guys are going to take their lumps. And maybe we see some upside at times. We might see some streakiness out of these young kids if they can figure out some things at the major league level. But, John Means at the top of the rotation. Outside of him, I don't know that there's anyone else who really has much fantasy value in the rotation. And then getting into the bullpen, it's an interesting one because last year, Brandon Hyde used multiple relievers to close out games. And I'm not really sure that was by design. I think it was just a lot of ineffectiveness. And, you know, he was shuffling players in and out of roles, and he was trying to figure out what works and what doesn't in his first season with the Baltimore Orioles. But I think, you know, he wants to find someone for that role. And is it going to be Michael Givens? Is it going to be Hunter Harvey? Is it going to be somebody else in the back end of that bullpen? I think that's an interesting topic of conversation here from a fantasy baseball perspective as well, Craig.
Yeah, I think so. Look, we're going to try to work through it. We'll try to help you. We'll try to find someone. All right, so here it is. The top starters for the Baltimore Orioles in 2017. Hide your eyes. John Means, all-star last year, came out of nowhere. Very surprising. Left-handed pitcher. Really no one is backing on him in fantasy this year. They're expecting some regression there. Alex Cobb was given that long-term extension 2 years. It was before Mike Elias got there, Frank. It was just not smart. It was a disaster. He signed late, another one of those late signings. It was just a bad move. I mean, Alex Cobb's best days are behind him. And then you have some hope. Keenan Akin is there. I mean, you know, he's looked good so far this spring. Asher Wojciechowski is... maybe won't have an ERA of 6. Wade LeBlanc pitched yesterday. He's that soft-tossing lefty, and he's going to end up, I think, making the rotation. They'll try and throw two lefties out there. And it's not to poke fun. It's just the reality of where they're at. They're not going to spend money, and they're going to lose a lot of games. So you probably, outside of Means, you just don't want to have any part of these guys in fantasy, but we're giving you the options there. Wojciechowski actually had a few starts last year, if I'm not mistaken, that were viable. A little bit more interesting will be the closing situation where Michael Givens looks like the inherited guy to get it, but Hunter Harvey is knocking on the door. We'll hear from Brandon Hyde in just a second, who I think gives us more of a definitive answer there. But bottom line here, Frank, even for a buck in a reserve round, any Orioles pitchers for you this year, starters on the big league team?
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in John Means. You know, he did pitch really well last season. He finished second in the American League Rookie of the Year voting. Obviously, you know, came out of nowhere, as you mentioned, but I'm a little intrigued by John Means. I understand the underlying numbers, you know, don't look nearly as good. You know, he pitched to a 3.6 ERA. His xFIP was over 5, but he is someone who does have 4 pitches. He has a fastball. He has a slider. He has a changeup. He only uses curveball about 6% of the time last year. He's put more of an emphasis on that curveball throughout the spring, and so far, we've seen some pretty good results from that. I don't know that many people realize this, and again, it goes back to the fact that it's the Baltimore Orioles, and you know, people aren't really deep diving the Orioles much because they're a bad team. But among all pitchers last year, Craig, with 150 innings pitched, John Means' 27.8% hard contact rate was the best in baseball. So he induces a lot of soft contact. He has a good fastball changeup combination. He mixes a slider in there. He's starting to use the curveball more throughout spring. You're not going to get a lot of wins out of him. I understand that. It's a tough ballpark to pitch in. He's going to face some really tough lineups. But remember, he did what he did last year as a rookie. I'm kind of intrigued by John Means, you know, going in the later rounds of drafts right now. I'm interested. I want to see, you know, how the rest of the spring plays out here. He's going to be the opening day starter, probably give you 170, 180 plus innings. And then in the back end of the bullpen, Hunter Harvey is someone that I've mentioned in the past, Craig, and someone that obviously I'm interested in. Former first-round pick, throws extremely hard. It's just a matter of health for him. He's had a lot of injuries in the past, but I think if he can stay healthy, Hunter Harvey is a name there that I'm very interested in this upcoming season.
All right, and yesterday I had a chance to go over the 2020 club with their skipper, Brandon Hyde.
So, Brandon, let's if you wouldn't mind taking me through kind of what your second camp has kind of been like here with
them. Yeah, I thought we've been having a really good camp. I'm really happy with how we're playing. We're playing good baseball, and I like the preparation that's been going on. I think that our guys are – I think they understand the opportunity that they have here. It's really similar to last year where – there was a lot of guys that were not much experience and some open jobs to win in the big leagues. And some of those guys took advantage of it last year. And I feel good about a lot of the guys we brought in, but also those guys that established themselves last year to continue to improve and get better and better.
It is a unique situation in baseball because as you kind of go through this process, and it's always a process with every team, you kind of learn something about different players, young players, yeah, potentially. What have you learned so far from maybe any of the younger players that from a national awareness, maybe we don't have that yet and that you've seen so far this spring that we should be looking for?
Well, I think that we have some, like you said, some young players that got a chance to be really good major league players. And you saw what, like, Anthony Santander did the last 2/3 of the year. Switch hitting guy, played center for us, not a center fielder, but he's a really good corner outfielder. But a good hitter from both sides with power. So I'm really excited about his future. Austin Hayes came up in September last year. Had a great major league spring training, got hurt at the end, and then had a really nice September for us. So I'm excited about him and his tools and what he's going to be able to bring. You know, we've gotten a small look at Rutschman behind the plate, that he's going to be a fast mover and somebody that we're really excited about, obviously. Richie Martin was Rule 5 last year, did a nice job, never even played AAA, played a lot for us as shortstop. He's continuing to improve. So I think we have a nice group of core guys. Also Mancini, you know, even though he's a little bit older, in his third full year, hits 35 and, you know, drives in almost 100. And really established himself as a force offensively in the American League. So I think there is a lot of really nice things from a hitter standpoint. Pitching, we're continuing to improve. We still have a long way to go, but I feel good about the arms we brought in. And some of the bullpen guys are starting to get a lot better.
Yeah, and on the pitching side specifically, I think everybody knows at this point what John Means accomplished last year. And potentially looks like maybe the second starter is set, but it feels like there's a genuine competition, which is kind of rare these days in baseball, yeah, in this camp particularly, for the fourth and fifth spot. If that is indeed the case and you feel that way, can you talk about kind of how you see that at this point and how it looks this season?
Yeah, we have a lot of guys that are competing for a couple rotation spots in the big leagues, which, like you said, is pretty rare. Some guys with a lot of experience, some guys that with not hardly any experience. We rule 5 two potential starters or at least long. Man, Bailey from Houston and Rucker from the Cubs that have both started in their career, so we're getting a long look at those guys. We brought in Wade LeBlanc and Malone, two guys that have had a ton of starts in the big leagues over the last last 10 plus years. And then we have David Hess and others that are Ty Block, Tom Eshelman, guys that had a lot of starts in their minor league career that are showing well in spring training so far. So there's a lot of opportunity. We're trying to see as many guys as possible, and hopefully it shakes out, and we have a nice rotation.
Last part on the club, big league club, the bullpen is, for my purposes, a lot of people are certainly interested as to who gets the ninth, and I know you went through a lot of that last year. I mean, would you call yourself a manager who likes to go with one guy in the ninth, or could you see multiple guys using it? Givens is the name that comes to mind.
Yeah. I mean, I think in a perfect world, you do have roles, and you do have specific things that guys know, at least the time of the game that they're going to pitch. And we really struggled last year with the lead and from the sixth to the ninth, and so it was a different. A lot of times we were just trying guys out and doing the matching up the best way we possibly could, and sometimes it worked out, sometimes it didn't. But when we had Hunter Harvey there for that 3 week span, our bullpen completely changed. It was somebody that could use in a high leverage spot that was throwing 100 with good secondary stuff, and it seemed like it kind of fell into place for everybody else. And everybody threw better during that time he was there. So hopefully we get some guys on a roll, and Hunter's healthy and pitches well for us this year, and we can kind of solidify it a little bit.
Would Hunter be an option?
Yeah, he's an option. Yeah, he's definitely an option. He's had 3 weeks in the big league, so you don't want to, you don't want to. Yeah, you just don't know. But he's definitely got closer stuff. He's definitely made. His dad did it. He's a high makeup guy. I love his makeup. So he's definitely built for it. So I think he's definitely an option.
All right. So, Frank, that's a pretty solid nugget there to get at the end of an interview to basically tell you. I mean, I don't think there's any question that Hunter Harvey's getting saves this year, Frank. Like, that's definitely changed my opinion as to how I attack that. You could poke fun and say, look, the Orioles may not win 60 games and they may not, have 40 save opportunities this season. That's certainly a possibility. But you're telling me that I could get a guy for free now that is going to get, I would think, minimum 8 to 10 save opportunities? Sign me up.
Yeah, and he might, and if he converts on those saves early in the season, Craig, he might wind up being the closer for the rest of the season. Obviously has to stay healthy. Former first-round pick in 2013, he has the stuff. There's no doubt about that. It just comes down to the health for Hunter Harvey. And look, listening to Brandon Hyde there, he said everything changed. Everything kind of fell into place when Hunter Harvey took over as the closer. So reading between the lines there, it's clear that he wants Hunter Harvey to be the guy. It's just a matter of him staying healthy and performing well in that role early in the season, Craig.
Yep, and that's what we're here to do on Fantasy Sports Today, to bring the reality of the game into your fantasy world to help you this upcoming season. All right, that'll do it for the first hour of Fantasy Sports Today, but don't despair. We've got a lot more Baltimore Orioles coverage coming up, exactly what you've been asking for. We'll be back with more FST, also a Sports Grid update from Dan Strafford. Don't go away. Craig and Frank back with you after the 2 minute break.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.